Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. When we were last together on Friday, we were rejoicing in the good news that Jesus was both God and man during his life here on earth. We rejoiced because we learned of the implications of who he was, of who he is, in our lives. I remind you of the significant exchange between the Lord Jesus and Peter, the apostle, in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew 16, verse 15, Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And in verse 16, Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter is declaring, "You, Jesus, are God." Indeed, Jesus is God, and at the same time, Peter said this to the man Jesus. Jesus is man. We answered the question, why must Jesus be both God and man? At Christmas, it is crucial that we remember Jesus is God in human flesh, and that we appropriate what this means for our lives. I hope that you were with us all last week. If not, do get the God Is podcast and get caught up. It is available from www.godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. We dealt with weighty content, and so I encourage those of you who are with us to hear it again on the God Is podcast. I hope you took advantage or will take advantage of the free podcast. It is there so that you can ponder these deep truths of God more thoroughly, especially perhaps when you are in a place that's quiet, so that you can reflect on what you're learning, applying it to your busy life. Furthermore, I remind you of our text this Christmas season. It is Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. Let me read this for us, get it front and center on our minds as we embark on this new week together. I'm reading in the New Testament Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 4, and verses 4 and 5. "But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." And one more reminder, this of the broad overview or outline we are following. We have in these words the divinity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. All of these working together, Christ's deity, Christ's humanity, and Christ's righteousness, make Jesus Christ perfectly qualified to be our Redeemer. That is how pastor and theologian John Stott puts it, and I love it. God sent forth speaks to the divinity or the deity of Christ. Then Paul says Jesus was his son, born of a woman. This speaks to the humanity of Christ. And then Paul continues by saying Jesus was born under the law so that he might redeem those who were under the law. And this speaks to the perfect righteousness of Christ. It is this third part that we will talk about beginning right now. This week, we want to complete our look at the end of verse 4 and all of verse 5. And yes, it's true, we have just 5 days to do it. In order to accomplish this, we will need to move swiftly and with less depth through the remainder of the text. But do not worry, we will finish strong. And then we will all be ready to celebrate Christmas. I do not know about you, but when I read the end of verse 4, and verse 5, the following words stand out to me. Law, redeem, and adoption. Born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Let's discuss the meaning of each of these words, shall we? Law, used twice. Redeem, adoption. The first word we will look at is this word law. In the version of the Bible I read and study, law is capitalized. Capital L, A-W, law. That's in the New American Standard Bible, the NASB. Paul is referring to the Mosaic Law, which is found in our Old Testament. This is God's law given by Holy God to Moses. The law of God, the Jewish people, the Israelites, were to live by and live under. Does God have a law? Oh, yes, he sure does. And God's law is laid out for us with clarity in the Old Testament, especially in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. If you read those books, you will read God's law. And of course, this law, God's law, also applies to us Gentiles. For example, if you read the Ten Commandments, that is God's law. You know that each of those apply to us. Even the ungodly know they shall not murder, and shall not commit adultery, and shall not steal, etc. Many of the laws on our books are built on God's law found in the Bible, even though I will come under severe criticism for making that connection in today's culture. Anyway, this is the law of which the Apostle Paul speaks, and he says Jesus was born under that law, verse 4. And then in verse 5, he says Jesus redeemed those who were under that law. That law is the Mosaic law. Now, when the apostle says Jesus was born under the law, he means that Christ was just the same as any Jew. Christ had a Jewish mother. Christ lived as part of the Jewish nation, and Christ lived under the Jewish law. And in his very human life, Christ submitted himself totally to the requirements of God's law. Except that unlike every other Jew, and Gentile for that matter, Jesus perfectly fulfilled the righteousness of the law. Jesus never broke God's law. Unlike all people, Jesus was not a lawbreaker. Jesus was not a lawbreaker. But we all are. And that is why Galatians 4, verse 5, we needed Jesus to redeem us who live under that same law, because we break God's law all the time. We are lawbreakers. So as we talk about law, and now as we talk about the second word, redeem, I want to bring into our conversation the wise words and very insightful comments of one of the premier theologians of all time, Martin Luther. In my research of this part of the text, he has the best commentary. However, I will need to parse this, beginning today and again tomorrow. So strap yourself in and pay close attention as we hear from Martin Luther. Oh, and let me say this. Luther loved the book of Galatians. It meant so much to him because in Galatians, Paul teaches, affirms, and defends justification by faith. That is, we are justified in the eyes of Holy God only by faith in Jesus Christ, not by any good works we might produce in our own flesh or in our own strength. For the former Roman Catholic Church monk and Protestant reformer, to read, to study, and to preach Galatians was to have mind pure gold in the Word of God. This epistle radically transformed his own life, teaching him that God only accepted Martin Luther because Christ justified Luther by faith and nothing else. It was nothing that Luther himself produced that made him justified in the eyes of God. It was rather only by faith in Christ that Luther was justified. And justification by faith is, of course, one of the signature and foundational doctrines of the Reformation. So Paul's letter to the Galatians was huge for Luther. In fact, he called it my other wife. Quoting Martin Luther in full now, The epistle to the Galatians is my own epistle. I have betrothed myself to it. It is my Kate von Bora. And Kate von Bora was the name of his wife. So keep this in mind as I quote and talk about Luther's insights into Galatians 4, 4 and 5. Luther begins, "How did Christ manage to redeem us? He was made under the law. Although he was Lord of the law, he voluntarily placed himself under the law and permitted it to exercise dominion over him, indeed, to accuse and to condemn him." I will stop there so we can digest this. He says Christ was Lord of the law. That makes sense to us because we have already learned that Jesus is God. So God's law is Jesus' law. As God the Father gave the law to Moses, God the Son was fully present in the Godhead. Christ is Lord of the law. If you prefer, Christ is ruler of the law. Christ made the law. Let me say that again. Christ is Lord of the law. If you prefer, Christ is ruler of the law. Christ made the law. And yet, as man, Jesus chose to place himself under God's law and even allowed that law to have dominion and to accuse and to condemn him. Think here of how the Jewish religious rulers used the law to accuse and condemn the Lord Jesus. Well, we need to stop here for today, but do come back tomorrow. I will repeat what has been said here at the end, add scripture, and then we will move on with Martin Luther's commentary on Galatians. I hope that you'll stick with us all week as we prepare for Christmas and as we do so together on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.